All right, it's now time for another round of Riding Back Roads. I'm Keith Hayes. This is Steve Hood, recording from Kent's Harley-Davidson in Abilene, Texas. Today, we're going to talk about, some motorcycle etiquette or, unspoken rules of the road. I guess there's probably a ton of these that we could talk about and that would take all day, but these are some of the most common.
Yeah, in general, particularly people that are newer riders, Keith, don't have the slightest idea about a lot of this.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, but it's just it's a lot of common sense too with most of it. Getting on somebody else's motorcycle, things like that.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, what's common sense to some could be uncommon to others. So that's why we're doing this podcast. The unspoken rules of the road or motorcycle etiquette, I guess the first one we could start off with is, the secret handshake of the motorcycle world when you're out on your bike.
Yeah, the wave.
The wave. Now, okay, so first off, does it matter how you wave? I mean, because, we always do the peace sign down, with the left hand, with your clutch hand, you throw the two down. But is there like an actual?
I think in general, most of the time it's just, either one finger down, two fingers down where they, just your whole hand down.
Yeah.
Most people aren't going like, hey, like this, that's kind of the, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
Sign, it's just effective. It's just it's a greeting. It's a howdy. It's a, hey man, I see you, hope you're having a safe trip. Hope you're having a good ride. Just acknowledge.
Now, okay, so have you ever been in a situation where you gave the wave and somebody didn't give it back, or somebody gave it to you and got pissed off at you? I mean,
I've never had anybody get mad about it, but I've had a lot of people that don't. And sometimes there's a reason in it. You're in a curve or something like that, and a lot of us can ride one-handed without any problem, but a lot of newer riders have a death grip on their scooter, and so letting go of one hand is not going to happen. But that doesn't offend me if somebody doesn't wave back. I'm going to be nice and just acknowledge him and say, hey man, hope everything's going well with you.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride.
And this is not something that's exclusive to Harley riders. I mean, the wave is something, it doesn't matter what kind of bike you're on.
Yeah, pretty much most every motorcycle rider will do it.
Yeah.
A lot of the import bikes, all sport bike riders won't.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the cruiser riders will.
Yeah, it's kind of, that seems to me, at least in my experience, that seems to be more of the world that exists in is more of the cruisers and everything like that. Yeah, today we're talking motorcycle etiquette, some of the unwritten rules of the road. For those of you that are new to riding, there's a secret handshake. It's a little wave. Just throw your clutch hand down and acknowledge the rider that's coming your way. Okay, so this next one is really important. And man, it's been so long since I've been in the motorcycle safety course. I vaguely remember this actually being brought up in the motorcycle safety course, but you should always check on, check on bikers on the side of the road. But there are some people may just hit the side of the road for a rest, but, there may be others that are in distress.
You can usually tell, if there's, somebody sitting there waving you down, then you really need to stop.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you'll see them, they'll stand on the side of the road and wave you on.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can just see them, they're just standing there, they're not doing much. But one of the key components, and this has been around for I don't know how long. I learned this, 55 years ago. If you see a helmet on the side of the road, and not everybody wears a helmet, but if you see a helmet on the side of the road and motorcycles stopped on the side of the road as well, on the ground on the side of the road, then that is a universal sign as a biker in distress.
Okay.
So, if you're coming along, you see that helmet and then you see the bike, then that's a good idea. You probably need to check.
Yeah.
Particularly
yeah.
if you don't see an individual.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll be wadded up. And it's just, good common sense. You know, one of our guys, you know, yesterday was coming back from lunch.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, not just a few hundred yards from the shop, a car pulled out in front of a customer and went down.
Oh.
And Dalton just happened to come up on it right as it happened. You know, and he stopped,
yeah,
got off and helped the guy get the bike out of the road. You know, common sense.
Yeah.
You know, if you see somebody that's got a problem, then, you know, and that's even if we're in a car. You know, if I'm in my truck and I'm driving down the road, I see somebody on the side of the road, looks like they have an issue, I'm going to pull over,
right?
You know, and check them out. Now, you know, that being said, you know, we lost a fellow motorcycle person here last year.
Yeah.
You know, he stopped on the side of the road in his truck to help some people that were in distress in a rainstorm and got hit by an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do need to make sure that you're safe, you know, and it wasn't his fault in any form or fashion. But, you know, you need to make sure that you're safe and that the other people are safe. And, you know, if you do pull off the side of the road, you know, it's a problem with state troopers and police officers, everybody.
Right.
You know, when they pull somebody over, that's one of the most dangerous things they can do, particularly on the bigger roads, because people see a vehicle sitting there, and sometimes they just follow that vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're right. Yeah, you become
– follow that vehicle.
It's almost kind of subconscious. I mean, the way it works that way. So
I mean, you know, it's crazy. So, you know, you always got to be really careful about doing that on the side of the road anyway.
And going back to the statement you made about the helmet, you know, you see the helmet on the side of the road. That's kind of the universal mm-hmm. sign of distress. That actually got me thinking because a lot of people, you know, we've got helmets here. You know, it's we encourage people to wear helmets as often as possible. And, you know, I guess the official color of Harley is black. And so a lot of people wear black helmets. But you brought up something interesting to me. It was a year and a half ago or so. You were talking about, you know, it's, you know, black helmets are cool and everything, but colored helmets, you know, say like a white helmet or a yellow helmet or something other than black, would be a lot easier to see if you did run off the road and say you're wrecking a field.
Visibility, yeah.
Yeah, the visibility makes a lot more sense. When
and I wear a black helmet, so I mean, what do you, you know?
Yeah. So, I got a black helmet as well. Yeah. So if you're shopping for a helmet, you may think of getting something other than black. But then again, nobody really prepares for having an accident on the side of the road.
I wore a silver one for years and years and years. Wore a Bell Magnum in silver.
Oh yeah,
real, you know, the bright silver. I don't know why. I'm just,
it's a universal. It's kind of neutral. Well, it goes with anything.
It wasn't hot. You know, we get so hot at times. So and then I have my Captain America helmet, my half shell. You know, that had the American flag on it.
Yeah,
they wear out. You know?
Yeah, so you're going to go through plenty of helmets, man. Get different colors each time. All right, you brought this up a minute ago, just briefly, and I guess maybe the number one rule, the unwritten rule, don't touch.
I would be better off asking to borrow your wife than asking to borrow your motorcycle.
Yeah.
In most situations, you know, I mean, I was kidding here, but you know, the thing is that's a, you know, a person's Harley, particularly Harley, and I can't speak about the rest of the bikes, but, you know, you don't go get on somebody else's motorcycle.
No.
You know, that is asking for nothing but a fight.
Yeah.
You know, in general, we had a guy years and years ago. We met with a group of people from Dallas at a restaurant halfway, and one of our guys was riding a Sportster, and he saw a lowrider, and he wasn't thinking or anything like that. And we were all standing over there fixing on the restaurant, and I hear somebody holler, "That son of a bitch getting on my motorcycle." And I mean to tell you, everybody started running, and I see him, and I'm hollering, "No, no, no, no!" You know. And anyhow, I had to kind of calm, you know. And he didn't mean anything by it at all.
Yeah,
he was a real new rider, and just didn't think, you know. And but he learned a valuable lesson. because that, you know, he had about four or five guys that were fixing to just take him out.
So. Yeah. Don't touch. Don't ride. Don't sit on somebody else's bike unless
you ask him.
Not unless you ask him. That's exactly it. And I guess kind of to go along with that, you know, somebody's old lady. I mean, now, I'm not trying to say that in a sexist way, but old lady is a very common term in the motorcycle world. But don't let somebody's old lady on the back of your bike.
No, you don't do that either.
Don't do that. No. If she, it didn't matter how drunk she is, and she said, let me ride your bike. My husband don't care. No, the husband cares.
That's a way to get shot.
That's a way to get shot. So just remember that, you know, that, you know, but leave the bikes alone. Don't touch, but maybe ask first, you know, if there's a bike that you really like. And those rules definitely go out the window when you come into Kent's, because we want you to sit on all the bikes.
Oh, yeah. When you come to an art store, man, sit on them. We want you to.
Yeah.
And I'll even sit on mine. I won't even gripe about that.
Well, no, because you sold yours the last time you let somebody sit on yours. Right. They bought it right out from underneath you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, these are, you know, the unwritten rules of the road, kind of motorcycle etiquette we're talking today on Riding Back Roads. The next one, always alert fellow riders of upcoming hazards. Another one that we learn in the motorcycle safety course. There's a variety of different, between leg and hand kind of maneuvers that you can do. But before we talk about that, I want to brag on one of our newest guys, Vinny, our parts guy. It was like 1 or 2 days after he bought his new bike from us. It was actually when I was coming back into town from going to see my daughter in Kansas City, and I'm coming in and I end up behind this motorcycle. And I'm looking at it. Man, that looks like one of our bikes. And I look even closer. I was like, oh, that's Vinny. He did have a helmet on, so that's good. But I was the only vehicle behind him, but he subconsciously, that has been branded into his DNA, because I was behind him for a good 3 or 4 miles. We were on the highway, and he was doing the leg points. And again, there was no motorcyclist behind him, but he just keeps that habit going, and I thought that was really cool.
Well, you need to, because, you know, it's one thing to hit something in a vehicle or a truck. It's another thing to hit a motorcycle. I'll give you a real good example. Last night, you know, I led supper.
Yeah.
And we're cruising along, and it's still plenty light. You know what I mean? You know, it's like 6:30, I guess it's probably 6:45 or so, because we're between Baird and Clyde. And I'm going along, and the guy that's behind me is a pretty good distance behind me there. We stagger out, you know, make sure we got plenty of room. Run 70 miles an hour, come around a curve, and there's a 4x4 that's about 8 foot long.
Whoa.
Pretty much in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, I sort of walk to the right to avoid it. And, of course, he can't see me in the back, but I hop on the CB real fast. And I start hollering, boarding the road.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I can see them kind of behind. Everybody's going, you know, over there, and they're paying attention.
Right.
But, you know, I've nearly run over ladders. You know, where they're falling off of a truck.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, that you know, there's hazards out there. You know, there's things that's out there. Chuck holes, you know, big chuck holes can break a wheel.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to make sure that you either point with your hand. You know, a lot of times when you point with your hand, people think that you're waving.
Yeah.
You know, but usually if you throw a leg out left or a leg out right, then they know which and what's coming up.
Yeah. And it's always important. It doesn't matter how big the group is, because there's always a chance somebody won't, you know, wouldn't see it until it's too late. Yeah. So,
particularly when it starts getting dark.
No doubt. So. And do like Vinny does, and whether you have a bike behind you or not, practice that at all times, because you become, you know, that muscle memory takes over. And
hitting the brakes a little bit at that time, too, where when you throw a leg out, you grab, you know, not hard, but enough to hit your brake lights on.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough to make them go, hey, man, there must have been something up there.
Yeah, for sure. Motorcycle etiquette, unwritten rules of the road is what we're talking about on riding back roads. Okay, and this next one kind of goes along with what we're talking about, just generally knowing rider-to-rider communication. Granted, having a CB or you know, some kind of digital communication device is great, but just standard writer-to-writer communication is super
important. Well, there's some general ones that they teach, you know. There's a lot of them that they teach. But, you know, there's a mess of them, you know, and most people are not going to go to the trouble to learn them.
No.
So what you do is the people that you ride with on a consistent basis, you need to have whatever communication that you do, whether it's, you know, slow down.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the ones that I use all the time. If, you know, if I see something, I'll start, you know, doing that.
Right.
You know, real hard. And, just different ones so that everybody has a general idea about, you know, what's going on. Because, like I said, I've got a CB radio. A couple other guys have radios we're able to talk to each other. There's a few of them that have Bluetooth where they can talk,
right,
go back and forth. But, you know, the problem is that you really can't communicate. And if you're staggered out quite a bit, you know, which is the safer way to be,
right,
you know, as opposed to riding side by side, then, you know, you're going to have to be able to holler about something.
Yeah, yeah. And sticking with this whole rider communication, there was one thing that, you know, down the list, we can kind of bring in, the old helmet tap. And back in the day, that was to warn other riders of an upcoming cop.
Right.
Law enforcement.
Still is, I think.
Okay. So is that like taboo? I mean, because nowadays, you know, like when you're in a vehicle and you flash the lights to let somebody know that there's a cop down the way, now people kind of like that. People want to complain about everything nowadays, and they're like, well, if you're warning the cop, then maybe a criminal's getting away.
Well, maybe the other thing is if you're not doing anything wrong, buddy, you need to tell them there's a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
That's true.
When we're riding in a group, you know, and I have a tendency, I'll admit it, I have a tendency by myself to ride fairly fast.
Yeah.
If there's other people with me, you know, that I ride with on a regular basis, maybe two or three of us, you know, we may hook it pretty good. But overall, if I'm leading a group, I stay at speed limit.
Yeah.
You know, because I've got, you know, 10 or 15, like last night with 13 people, you know, so you got 13 bikes there, you know, and you're all trying to run 80 or 85. That's not real easy to do because somebody's not going to. So, you know, we always try to keep it at speed limits, you know, and make a nice, easy, comfortable ride, you know, for what we're doing. But, you know, what we do is we know several of us have radios. We can talk to each other. So we put one in the middle and one at the back, or maybe two at the back. And then that way, if something happens, and we've had this, we've had people go down on rides.
Yeah.
We had a guy that went down I was too far ahead and CB radio wouldn't work. And all of a sudden my phone pops up on the deal and it shows that Denny's calling and he pops up and he says, "Hey man, Joe went down."
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, and the guys ahead of me, I was kind of middle of the pack. I can't get them, so I called them.
Yeah.
So, you know, nowadays, you know, with the advent of some of our bikes, like the touring bikes, like I ride, you know, we have the ability to call or be on the phone or stuff like that. So that helps a little bit in communication. But
yeah,
the day that happened, there was like 25 of us.
Wow.
And we were stretched out over probably a couple of 2 or 3 miles.
Wow.
You know, as far as that goes. And the riders that were slower, you know, the ones that weren't so fast were towards the back, and that's one of the guys that went down. So, and actually he was following an experienced rider, and that guy ran off the road. He just followed him. The guy that ran off the road made it all right.
Yeah.
It was in a curve, and the other guy, he didn't because he went down.
I've seen that happen a lot too. You know,
following the rider, not following the road.
That's exactly it. It's and sometimes it becomes tough not to follow the rider, but it's one of the basic things that we're taught when you take the motorcycle safety course is, you know, you're looking ahead. You're not looking right in front of you. You're following the road, not the rider. So that'll prevent a lot of these miscues with rider to rider communication.
You don't want to follow the guy in front of you. You want to follow the road.
Yeah, for sure.
Glad you're riding.
You know, we're talking about unwritten rules of the road, some motorcycle etiquette, and so we're riding to Sturgis or Daytona or wherever, and there's a big group of us, and there's tons of bikes, and then you got the one guy that's going to park cattywampus to just because he has that cool looking bike and wants all eyes on him. And that right there is a quick way to get beat up.
It don't bother me. I'll just park on the other side.
Yeah, I still abide by the whole, you know, parking with, leave enough room for people to park with you and everything.
Well, you should. That's just courtesy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially when you're in big groups, because once you get spread out, somebody may not know when everybody else is leaving and they get stranded.
You don't want to park in front of somebody. They may just push your motorcycle out of the way.
Now, that's true, too. Yeah. I've seen them pushed out of the way and pushed over
yeah.
To get out of the way. Yeah. Now, you were talking about safe riding distances when riding in groups. You know, because some you'll see some groups that, you know, are side by side in the same lane, some groups that are side by side that okay.
Clubs have a tendency to ride side by side and they ride tight pack and they ride fast. And they do it on a regular basis, and so they know, you know, kind of how they're supposed to do and what they're supposed to do. But there has also been some, you know, pretty gnarly accidents involved, you know, when they're doing that. But, you know, when we're riding, we ride staggered, and we try to keep, you know, like they teach in MSF course. We try to keep, you know, a certain amount of distance. And I can tell you, I've had several, you know, events that have happened that had we not been staggered could have been a bad event.
Right.
And, you know, one of them was in a curve up here going into Tuscola. And we were going, and luckily we were staggered because in this curve, you know, coming the other direction was some guy on his phone, and he just came clean over in my lane. And if I'd have been side by side, I mean, I had no choice. I had to move in that curve to the outside. And Dudley was right behind me, but he was off. He was staggered.
Yeah.
So when I went over, I had room. And this guy, I mean, this guy, he came over and everybody saw it and saw me move. So they moved, but he could have taken out five or six people.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily, I just happened to, you know, I saw him, and I'm going like, this dude is not paying attention, and he did. The whole car was over in my lane.
The entire car? Wow.
The whole car was in my lane. And luckily, I managed to get off to the side, and it was one of those, woo, you know, like that. Another event that happened was in 2002, there was about 15, 18 of us that went to the kickoff for the 100th anniversary in Atlanta, Georgia.
Gotcha.
And we left here at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and we're going down Interstate 20, and the other side of Cisco, you know, we're all in the right lane where we should have been, and we're chugging along there at 75 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And here comes a dually, going, you know, we're going, you know, east, and he's coming west in the eastbound lane.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, I have no earthly idea how he got, you know, he got on the road somehow, got on the deal. But had, you know, I started, you know, hit my brakes and everything else to, you know, to let everybody know and moved off to the right. And so this dude just kept trucking along about 75 miles an hour. You know, if you're scattered out and you're in the wrong place or, you know, something, you just, you know, you always have to be aware.
Yeah.
And you always want to make sure that you're giving the person ahead of you or beside you enough room, you know, so that you don't get yourself in trouble.
Right,
you
right.
Because you may go down and somebody else not. And I've got a friend, he was a major out here at the base. He rode, and he had two brothers up in Illinois that rode. And they were riding together. They were in an MC club up in Illinois. I don't remember what the club was. This was like 95, 96. Anyhow, they were all riding together, and they were headed to an event.
Yeah.
That they were going to a fundraising event for something, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, a guy in a flower van coming the other direction went to sleep and took out the first five riders.
Wow!
Came over in their lane, and there was nothing to kill both of his brothers.
Oh my God!
You know, and plus a lot of the other guys.
Oh my God!
That
gosh.
Was there. Yeah, there was like 30 of them. And
yeah,
he took out the first five riders. You know, the biggest chunk, I think he told me there was like 14 of them, and all went down. But five of them actually hit that van.
Yeah. Golly.
Yeah. So, you know, riding side by side may look cool, but it's not necessarily safe.
Not at all. So, ride staggered, you know, It's because the biggest thing about riding staggered and with a safe distance is it gives you and the riders around you space to.
I used to think I was a really good, you know, years ago, you know, cause I've ridden a jillion miles, but
yeah,
you know, years ago, you know, I used to think I was hot shot. You know, I drag raced, I motocross. You know, if you could do it on the bike, I tried to do it. You know, and I used to think I was pretty good. You know, I could handle a big old dress to throw it around like it was nothing. But dang, I'm an old guy now. I can't handle that thing very well. I have a hard time getting on it, and I have a hard time moving around with it. So, you know, being safe is more important to me now than fast or cool.
So. Yeah. And okay, so when it comes to riding in groups, I think, okay, earlier we were talking about the rider-to-rider communication, and it's going to be difficult for all riders to learn every single hand sign or whatever. So, you know, the groups that you most commonly ride with kind of have their own language that they all, sure, you know, are on the same page and everything. But so what if you get a group together that, you know, okay, say like a poker run. We have a poker run, but everybody's leaving at the same time or just some kind of ride. So these are all riders that aren't used to riding together. So, you know, what's the safest way?
There's not much you can do, you know, when you get a bunch of guys, they all take off together. You know, not a lot you can do. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, without regard. And if they're not used to riding and, you know, together, then there's no telling. Now, I'm not terribly prone to, you know, we usually, you know, if there's a bunch of us going to go, we always have a real quick safety meeting right off the bat and talk about where we're going, how we're going, so that everybody knows, because there's always a chance somebody's going to stop the stoplight or something getting out of town. But, you know, you just have to use your common sense. And if there's somebody riding, you know, too close behind you or something that you're not comfortable with, pull over the side and wave him on by. You know, tell him, go on, man. If you're in that big a hurry, you need to get on there, just go on.
Yeah.
You know, you have to watch out. You always have to watch out for yourself. You always have to do what's going to be safe for you.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the same thing with cars. You know, when you've got that many people, like last night, we had a car pull in on us, and they made a hole, and they stayed with us for 15 miles. Well, they couldn't pass. There was, you know, there was no way to get around because of oncoming traffic. And we were going speed limit, so they weren't out of sorts to just go four blocks back. I had a car.
Yeah.
You know, that was okay. They didn't cause any issues.
Yeah.
You know, there are at times trucks, and then that's where you always have to be careful, because you got a truck that's out here and you're running, you know, 70, 75, and they're wanting to run 85, and they find a place that they think they can pass, and they start going. All of a sudden, they need to pull in, and I've had people want to fight that, you know, and my suggestion to them, and I can't tell anybody, you know, that you have to do anything. You know, if he's going to hit a vehicle head on, it's going to hurt not just him and that other person. It's going to hurt y'all because it's going to come in your laneway.
Yep.
Best thing you can do is spread out and let him in.
Yeah.
You know, spread him. You don't have to be happy about it because he's an idiot trying to do something that he should have just been patient with.
But, yeah.
You know, you just have to, you know, you have to think safety first.
No, that's exactly right.
Safety first for you.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be at the end of the day, you want to be back and have a good ride.
It's funny that you say, or not funny that is, but it's ironic that you bring up the whole thing about like a big truck, because on my way to Kansas City a few weeks back, I noticed two different scenarios where a situation like that happened, where the truck was trying to make a pass, but because of various whatever, you know, couldn't, so had to duck back in. And a motorcyclist, and I can see, it'll irritate you, especially when you're, you know, maybe you have it on cruise and you're just enjoying the ride and you have to adjust real quick. But both times that happened, I saw the motorcyclist get past, you know, because the truck had to pull back in and then almost clip the front of the motorcyclist. The motorcyclist goes around the truck, gets in front of the truck, and then slows down to like 45. Like, I'm going to prove something to the, like, that's a great way to get run over.
Yeah, because he can't see. If it's an 18-wheeler, if it's a pickup truck, they can. But, you know, 18-wheeler can't see you. You know,
no.
But we did that situational deal out here with the 18-wheeler here a while back. And it's amazing. They can't see you unless you're about 30, 40 feet ahead.
That's exactly it. So don't go trying to prove a point, you know.
You'll lose. Yeah.
You're going to lose against an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, you're not big enough to prove much of a point on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Okay, so when you ride up on an MC, I guess maybe we should have two classifications, just regular MCs and maybe one percenters or whatever. But are there rules when it comes to riding up on an MC, whether it's at a stoplight?
Probably not a smart thing to pass on.
Yeah.
You know, if they wave you on around, that's one thing, you know. But most of the time they're running. Most of the time if there's a group of them, they're running 80. You know, they're running, you know, faster than speed limit usually.
Yeah.
They're not cruising along there at highway speed. You know, if you just happen to run up on them, then you just need to back off and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Stay out of the way. It's just respect. You know,
yeah.
you don't want to be disrespectful to them because that's probably not going to come out well.
No.
You know, sport bike riders are probably the world's worst about, you know, wanting to zoom on around. And you can do that, you know, if you zoom around them and they didn't wave you on, the repercussions could be –
yeah.
Not very good.
Yeah. That's
so, you know, just be respectful, you know, whatever it is that they're doing and you know, or pull off and smoke. If you smoke, pull off, smoke a cigarette, or pull off and, you know, drink your bottle of water, or you know, find a convenience store, whatever, you know, in general, when we're on that bike, we shouldn't be in that big of a hurry to be too concerned about that. But yeah. Everything is about respect. So you don't want to be disrespectful to them or basically to any other motorcycle.
No, you're exactly right.
Or car. Be respectful.
Yeah. Some of the other unwritten rules of motorcycles, we'll stick, I guess this next one that I'm going to talk about patches. It kind of goes along with the MC. Some MCs.
Patches identify you. You know, most people put patches on their vests that identify them, you know, as who they are.
Yeah.
You know, military patches or you know, with a lot of us, you know, a lot of them are different, you know, identifying your bike or whatever. You know, the big thing is that unless you're in an MC, you don't want to have bottom rock.
Gotcha.
That's the biggest thing. You don't want to claim a territory.
Yeah.
Because that will get you in trouble. No club Lone Wolf patches will get you in trouble.
Gotcha.
You know, because that basically is your thumb in your nose at the MC saying, I'm too cool. I'm bad enough. I don't have to wear your patch.
Yeah,
I don't have to wear anybody's patches. I'm a Lone Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, well, more power to you if you think that's good. I have seen those taken from people who wear them.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, unless you are seriously a badass, that's probably not a good patch to wear.
Yeah.
You know, on that. But overall, you know, you don't want to wear, you know, if you're not a part of a 1% club or you're not a part of an MC, you don't want to wear patches that would associate you with them or with that group, because then you're claiming something that you're not. And that would probably that's not going to go well if they find out or they see it.
Yeah,
you know, because that's very important to them. Everything that's there, you know, that once again it identifies them as to who they are to other club members and the same. It's just like with Harley Owners Group. With all, we don't wear bottom rocker.
Right.
You know, we're the West Texas chapter. That's on the top and. But we're not a club either. We're a Harley Owners Group.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and it's just, you know, you just want to be, once again, common sense, and not to say everybody has that.
No.
But, you know, you need to, you know, when in doubt or if you have a question, ask somebody else that does, and, you know, just keep yourself out of trouble, because there are some patches you could wear that could be offensive to, somebody who might actually take some type of back.
Yeah, that's true. And if you ever have questions, come up and ask Hood here at Kent's Harley Davidson. I mean, you know more about patches and stuff like that. And you know, and that's part of it's part of riding. Everybody likes to have their vest with patches, pins, and the sort and everything. Yeah. But some of it can Some of it can.
Well, there's
be
plenty
detrimental.
Of patches you can wear and not offend anybody.
Not anybody at all, and they can still have dirty words. All right, the last one before we end riding back roads this round. Let's talk about because common sense has been a big deal today, and obviously common sense and firearms should go hand in hand. Now,
sure,
I've heard various myths, urban legends, or whatever that if you wear your firearm while riding, you should have it concealed, not necessarily because of a law sake, but, you know, you just, you know, maybe certain groups don't well, like it. I don't know.
You need to know what the state laws are for starters. You know, in Texas, there's an open carry, but it has to be in a holster. So, you know, if you're open carry, it needs to be open carry. And if you don't have a concealed permit,
yeah,
you don't want it concealed because then you get pulled over, then you're in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't feel comfortable carrying it on their person when they're riding. That's fine. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if you don't have it, it's not any good.
Oh, yeah. You have it in a saddlebag, it's not going to help.
The idea of carrying a firearm is if you need the protection, you need it right then, and if you've got to get it out of your saddlebag and you needed it, it's probably too late. You know, that's one of those things that you need to be, when you're traveling, for sure you need to be aware of all the state laws of every state that you're going through because, you know, that can get you in trouble in a hurry. Motorcycles in general can be targeted by law enforcement. You know, they shouldn't, but they don't know any better.
It's what
they are going to lump everybody kind of together. And if you get pulled over and you're in the wrong state and you're carrying a firearm, it could be a problem. Like California, you do not want to carry a firearm on your person in California. Mm-hmm. It has to be in a locked container, you know, basically a firearm deal with no ammunition in one saddlebag. And then your magazine, your ammunition has to be in another saddlebag.
God.
And both of those have to be locked.
Yeah.
And deal. And you know, so, I mean, different states have, you know, different laws. Some states are harder than others. You just have to be very careful about what you do when you do. And, you know, of course, you know, the hope is that you never have to use it, period.
Yeah.
You know, you know, if you are going to carry one, you need to make sure that you're not going to get yourself in trouble by violating a law that police officer could get you in trouble over.
Yeah. And in a personal experience I've had with riding with firearms is that those that, you know, I had my 1911 on my side, and it was a very, very, very hot day. And I was riding along, you know, on those days, you're just wearing a T-shirt and the back of your shirt kind of flying up in the air and everything. Well, the gun got so hot just because of the sun,
the heat,
and it burned my back.
Yeah.
It literally burned my back. I just, you know, mid-ride, I was, you know, kind of stretching out and, you know, kind of moving around my back. And, boy, I could literally feel it just sizzle against my back. So, you know, on some of those grip extenders, you know, get the rubber. That'll that'll keep you from getting burned.
Yeah, just make sure that what you're doing is not going to get you in trouble.
That's a big thing. Rule number one. All right, that's another round of Riding Back Roads, talking about some of the unwritten rules of the road and maybe some, you know, hopefully it helps some of you out. But, you know, a lot of this stuff, I think more than anything, common sense is probably the prevailing topic today.
It really is. It really is. You know, use your head and just remember, you know, if you're on your motorcycle and you're riding down the road and something happens, you know, a vehicle, anything, you know, anything happens, you're not going to win.
No.
You know, you're not going to win. So you know, because you're just too small.
Yeah.
And, you know, you make a person on another vehicle mad, they run you off the road. You know, you just, it doesn't matter how irritated you get, you just need to make sure that what you're doing is going to keep you safe. And if there's other people with you, that keeps them safe.
And that's what it's all about.
We're out there to enjoy and have a good time.
Yeah. So, Yeah, because you want to take the next ride. If you're not safe on this ride, you don't get the next one. That's what it's all about.
You want to be riding for 55 years like I have.
Yeah. So. Hey, fingers crossed I get to that part. Sure. Hey, appreciate everybody joining us on Riding Back Roads. I'm Keith Hayes. This is Steve Hood. I hope you all have a great day, y'all.